bucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, 7 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday morning. We do appreciate you listening. Coming up in about a half hour, Shaw Ross, SR Communications, formerly of Yellowhammer News, he'll join us. We'll talk about speaker's race. Obviously, Mac McCutcheon not running for re-election has opened up the speaker's race. And here we are more than way over a year out, and we already have two declared candidates for speaker, State Representative Bill Poole and State House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter. We're working to try to get those two individuals. Come on, talk a little bit about that, but we'll keep you apprised of that situation. Joining us now in the program, very pleased to bring on my next guest. Speaking of members of the House of Representatives, State Representative Shane Stringer here on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, man. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We always appreciate it. We haven't talked, mostly have been focused on your situation with the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, but I wanted to talk about this. I wanted to make sure that this stayed on the radar. You met with the governor and the transportation director a few weeks back about Highway 45. Now, we talked about Highway 45 a lot on this program. It presents a lot of challenges to public safety, but it's also a major north-south thoroughfare. And the one portion of it that is not four lane is, happens to be here in Alabama between the state line and Mobile. And you and others, your predecessors, have been trying to get that, corrected, but it remains, it's roughly the same route it's been for nearly 100 years, as it is. You met with the governor, you met with, John Cooper, the ALDOT director, and what was your takeaway? What did they tell you?
I do believe they're listening. This meeting, I came with a different approach, and that was that we consider doing this in segments. The road is roughly 60 miles long, and if we could address it maybe 20-mile segments, that would, we could start with the most dangerous and deadliest part, and I think that would really make a major difference. And then just that would allow us to do it without such a major financial burden on doing the whole 60 miles.
But they gave you a number there, and the number was pretty. That was the whole takeaway from that. This project probably isn't going to happen anytime soon. Such a big number. What do you make of what they envision, and is it? I find a lot of times with government, they like to take these, approaches with big Cadillac plans, but maybe we could scale it down or something and make it, like you said, put it in pieces. That has to be something that could be feasible.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping for. I mean, I really feel like, we're blessed that they're doing the Highway 43 expansion. But in my opinion, I think 45 was the more needed or necessity in our area with the amount of deaths on the road. I do know that ALDOT is doing some small things to try to help cut back trees, add signs, do a few things, but ultimately that's not going to be the game changer. The game changer is going to be when they start laying asphalt on the road.
So, whenever we have these discussions, and it's always this, that there are other needs around the state. There are other priorities. This one, there's just not enough traffic, which I fail to believe that is necessarily the case. But do they ever offer you up, well, we got to finish this project here and this project here and this project here and this project here, and then maybe we could get to your project down in your neck of the woods? Like, there seems to be a reluctance to be really transparent and open about really what our priorities are, unless, of course, it's a situation where you could do a ribbon cutting or something like that, where you could say, hey, we're, there's projects all over the state out of Rebuild Alabama that they're touting, but this one doesn't, this one never really makes it.
Yeah, and I don't really understand that. You're exactly right. I've met with them time and time again, and, we never never get told that it's coming, or we never get told that, you know, it's in the process. You know, like you said, we've got X amount of projects, and then it's you. You know, pretty much all we get told is there's the traffic counts are not high enough, and I agree with you that is absolutely absurd. I mean, anybody that travels 45 or lives 45 can attest to the traffic. You know, so something's got to be done. You know, we're constantly having fatality wrecks, and you know, whenever they came in and they did the expansion on Highway 98 and full lane a lot of it, you know, they're still roughly, I think, 7 miles apart. It's not full lane. But whenever they did extend a lot of it, the wrecks went down. It did help, you know, and so that's proof that if we can do this in segments, even if you knock out a 20-mile segment in the worst area, then it helps.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Now, one of the numbers I saw, I think, in a report, $300 million. Do they tell you how they arrived at that number? Does that seem high to you? It seems high to me. I'm not an expert on these things, but the cost to do this, an anticipated total cost to widen the roads where over $300 million. Whereas most other highly traveled two-lane roads can be addressed where the cost ranges from $20 to $60 million. Did you get a sense as to why? I mean, the geography, it's not like you're climbing a lot of mountains there in South Washington County. Or did they give you a satisfactory explanation as to why it's such a prohibitive cost?
No, I have not gotten an explanation for that. And I agree with you. I don't understand how it could be. Truthfully, I don't understand how it couldn't be cheaper than some areas, because there's just so much open land that would be available, you know, which I know there's a lot more that goes into these decisions for utilities and all of that stuff that has to be relocated, moved. But from what I'm seeing and what I, you know, witnessed on 45, I just don't see how it could be that much more than some of the other roads that we're looking at across the state.
Yeah, and then they throw $100 million, well, you know, prison lease proposal, it's going to cost $100 million more a year annually than we had thought, you know, so please vote us in that money. These numbers, sometimes it seems to me that they throw a big number out there as a way to deter the any expectations that could be done. Like I said, I'm not an expert on these things, but do you find that maybe this could be the case where they take the approach that we're going to have this big fancy bridge like we talked about over the bay, and then you look at it, well, no, maybe we could scale it down and get a little more bang for our buck and not have to pay as much? That seems to be the approach when it comes to things the state doesn't want to do, and when the state wants to do something, they lowball the number. It just seems that way to me.
Yeah, and it's hard to say that could very well be the case. I have reached out to different road builders across the country and across the state and got their opinion, and some of them said that number could be accurate. So, you know, they know more than I do, but I do know, like you said, when there's a will to get something done, you'll find a way to make it happen. And, you know, I just wish that they would take this serious and look at it. And, you know, we've kicked the can down the road forever, and we're in the best shape now to take a look at it and try to address it. You know, the Highway 43 project, you know, it could probably be scaled down and use some of that money to address some of this. And, you know, I think that they're really, that could have been more of a straight shot up to Tuscaloosa than what it is. But, you know, there's always a lot of deciding factors that have to be considered in these projects and others. And, you know, of course, I'm our daughter operating with a lot more information than what I have.
Yeah, and the 43 is interesting because, you know, if you're driving from Mobile to Tuscaloosa, you don't go straight up 43. 43 kind of veers off to the to the west, and then most people kind of cut the quarter there, go through Fonsdale or wherever. And that's not a direct path that this will serve. You don't go through necessarily go through Demopolis on your way to going to Tuscaloosa for Mobile. So, you know, what are they doing there? That the specifics on that project, I'm very eager to see how they're going to handle that. I assume it's just going to tie it at Interstate 2059 at some place. But anyway, enough of me rambling about a road project. So let's talk about the other thing I'm sure you're still hearing about. You left the you were let go of from the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. Give us an update where you are on speculation, what your political future holds in store. Where are you in that process? What are you thinking about?
Well, right now, still, you know, searching for a job, looking at that situation and trying to find what's right for me and my family. The other is I'm trying to make a decision on whether I'm going to run again as a House representative or whether I will consider running for sheriff. We are looking at things, talking to people, and everything I'm hearing is extremely positive. So, you know, hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll make a decision on that. If that's the case, then we'll run wide open with that.
You know, the issue, this constitutional carry issue, is that, no pun intended, is that going to carry the day here? That does it seem like that is where a lot of the energy is, at least for your candidacy, that you took that stand on that issue, whereas the sheriffs, including Sheriff Cochran, don't really like that approach to the Second Amendment?
I don't think that's the that's going to be the main thing that carries our race if we go that way. You know, pretty much everybody knows I've been in law enforcement right at 30 years and different areas of the county, and you know, I understand the ins and outs of law enforcement. I've worked just about every division there is. My experience speaks for itself. My integrity speaks for itself. And you know, I think that at the end of the day, you know, that may help, but at the end of the day, people are going to look at who Shane Stringer is and what I stand for, and that I stand for what's right and for the people, and that I'm gonna look out for all parts of our community.
Well, yeah, and let's talk about that. I mean, I guess we get caught up in these political discussions that the sheriff's office is you're entrusted to ensure public safety there. And looking kind of at the landscape right now, do you feel like things are in a manageable situation? Should you assume that role as sheriff? And then that's not saying that you're going to run or not, but, you know, looking at kind of where we are as the county, you know, the needs have probably have changed. How do you approach that where we stand today from your law enforcement expertise?
Well, the key to success is going to be to embrace change and to address change. And, you know, we're going to have to continue to evaluate our effectiveness throughout our community and throughout the country, truthfully. And, you know, there's going to be changes that have to be made. I've seen a bunch of changes over my career, you know, from the development of a taser that has really saved a lot of lives, and that helped us go a long way. So we've constantly got to embrace change and evolve if we're going to be successful in law enforcement.
Yeah, and I guess you see, different drug trafficking situations, and like you said, the culture right now with the Black Lives Matter / defund the police stuff, that you have maybe some morale problems. I mean, there's for law enforcement, not just sheriff's departments, but also for even municipal police agencies, there are changes in the culture that have led to present some different challenges, it seems.
Yeah, and one of the biggest challenges, recruitment, retention, and hiring of new officers, and you know, that is from a lot of what you just said. So we've got to address that. And you know, the two things that I look at is we've got to make sure that we're taking care of our officers, we're making sure they're getting the training, making sure that we are a profession, making sure that the officers are constantly getting better and staying up to date with all the different training that's out there. The other is making sure that we're taking care of the citizens, making sure that we're treating the public the way we should and we're doing the job we should, you know, because in some of this and some of the morale problems, we have seen a decrease in officer activity. So we've got to figure out a way to address that and make sure that the officers are doing their part and taking care of the citizens and the victims.
Representative, we're up against a break here, but we appreciate you making time for us this morning. We'll be in touch again soon, I hope.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, and y'all have a blessed day.
You do the same. State Representative Shane Stringer of Citronelle there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.